others. Who? Specifically, people who are drowning, who need rescue, who need to be rescued. Can you see the main difference? Now, if we think about the church, the Christian church today, and we must compare it with one of those two boats, which one do you think must we be? A cruise ship or a rescue boat? What did God call us to do? To rescue people. Now, obviously, we cannot change people. We cannot change lives. We cannot make sure people repent. But we need to do the job of presenting the gospel in such a way that people will come to Christ. So it's all about the people outside of the boat and not about the people inside of the boat. Now, when I look at many churches today and all over the world, what do we normally see? It's all about who? Us. Isn't that true? It's all about our comfort. It's all about the seats, how comfortable the seats are. I won't use that word again, don't worry. Okay. It's all about how comfortable the seats are. I used a word last night that I realized wasn't probably the best one to use. Anyway, so it's all about the comfortable seats that we sit on. It's all about our building, and we should be nice and comfy inside. Isn't that true? It's all about the colors of the walls, and we spend sometimes so much time about making it comfortable for ourselves, while people all around us are drowning. And I honestly believe God called us to be a rescue boat. And we need to get out there and start rescuing people and stop thinking only about ourselves. And you know what? The night when the next morning when we actually announced that we're going to start with Basics for Life, our ministry down in Napier, the new church, I actually had a dream the previous night about this. And I was dreaming that I was actually the captain of a cruise ship. Okay, I was cool, okay, that was really cool. I dreamed that I was this captain of the cruise ship, and I was steering this big, huge cruise ship, and one of my members came to me, running to me, shouting to me, saying, "Listen, captain, stop, stop, there's someone drowning. They fell over, and there's someone drowning in the sea. We need to rescue them, we need to help them." And while, I'm getting stuck. Okay, and while that was happening, there was someone, one of the other crew members that came to me and said, "Listen, in room 101, there's someone who complained about their tea that is cold." And I said to him, "Listen, you just need to hang on just one moment. We'll rescue them in a second. I just need to quickly attend to this because this is a big problem. We cannot serve cold tea." And I was dreaming all of this, and I literally woke up, and I was sweating, and I realized, you know what, I think that's sometimes what's happening in the church today. We are so worried about cold tea while people are drowning outside. And I just realized we need to get on moving. And in that time, I was really praying about the Word, and God really spoke to me through Revelation and the seven churches in Revelation 1, 2, 3. Now, before we read that, you're welcome to turn in your Bibles, Revelation 3, verse 14, but I just want us to quickly pray about this, please, and just give the Word to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, and thank you that your Word is Holy Spirit inspired. And therefore, we want to pray that you will please come and break open your Word and make it understandable to all of us, so that we will be encouraged and motivated and fired up through your Word and your Holy Spirit to go out and make a difference and start rescuing people. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's read Revelation 3. Now, we're talking about the seven churches in Revelation. Now, we're just going to look quickly at the last church in Revelation 3 from verse 13 to 21. And this is the church in Laodicea. And it says in verse 14, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of God's creation. So this is God speaking and says, this is the words, these are the words of the Amen. We know what that means, the beginning and the end, the ultimate authority, okay? I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Wow. It's God speaking, God talking to the church. And he says, listen, you won't, I know exactly what you guys are doing. You are not hot or cold. And when I think about you, I want to spit you out of my mouth. This was a wake-up call for me. And I said, God, please help us that we will never, ever be a church that you want to spit out of your mouth. And you need to ask yourself the honest question today, IBC in Auckland. God says to you this morning, I know your works. I know exactly what you are up to. I know what you are doing. And you need to be honest with yourself and ask you the question, are we hot or are we cold? And when God looks at our church, what does he see and what does he think? For you say, verse 17, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, and poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may be clothed yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve your to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I want to talk to you about my theme today is go hard or go home. Have you heard that before? Go hard or go home. I honestly believe that this is the message from God to the church today. Go hard or go home. Stop playing church. Be serious about what you are doing. Either do it good or don't do it at all. And you know what, this really became evident to me when we moved into another building and we thought maybe the building is the thing, okay? So if you've got a building, you've got a building of your own, then your church will grow. Until God decided he will actually demolish our building, okay? He literally, okay, sent the counseling to demolish the building that we used to have church in. And the best of it is this building is right behind my house. And I was looking over the fence when that actually happened. And I have a video of it all. I was like, oh, this big bulldozer breaking down the church. And in the one sense, I knew. Obviously, the Bible tells us that we are the temple of God. Okay? I know it's not about the building. But for some reason, I was a little bit sad. I thought, like, man, because that was quite an old church building for many, many years. It was actually called the Gospel Hall. And it was broken down. And I was standing there and I was thinking by myself, God, but in a spiritual sense, if you look at some churches today on your earth, how many churches would you rather see demolished? Been spit out, taken away? Because they're not really making any difference. They're actually doing more damage to the kingdom of God than doing good. And I believe there are churches like that. And I again say to God, please, God, help us. And that's immediately when I thought about Laodicea. Now, just a very quick background about Laodicea to give you an idea. Now, obviously, John was the one who wrote Revelation, And he was writing to the seven churches. There's Ephesus and all the others. And that was the last one. And we're talking about Laodicea. Now, let's just have a very quick background about Laodicea and what was happening there. Now, Laodicea was known for its extravagant wealth and a medical school, for example. Okay, three facts known about this in the Roman world was it was a banking center. So it was therefore recommended for exchanging money. Secondly, it was a place where they manufactured a lot of clothing and woolen carpets made especially from the glossy black wool of sheep that was reared locally. And then lastly, it also had a medical school that produced some medicines, notably an eye ointment made from pulverized rock in the area. Okay, so this is the background. So in a nutshell, this was economically, it was a rich town, a city. So they didn't really lack anything. And because of that, they thought that, man, we are rich. And God used exactly that actually against them at the end. And now God comes and he uses John and he speaks to this congregation. And he says the next point is, I, the final authority, Revelation 3 verse 14, and the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of God's creation. So God comes and he introduces himself as the God of all creation, the God over everything. And he says, I am the one that's talking to you now. So you need to listen carefully to what I have to say. Now, when God speaks, we better listen. And in this instance, God was very serious about what he said to this church. And to be very honest with you, I'm so glad I wasn't in their shoes. He says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, he says, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. So the point is this. You know what? I frankly don't care about what people think about our church, but I do care tremendously about what God thinks about our church. People can say whatever they want. People called me fundamentalist before, a fundamentalist. I said, you know what? If this is what it means to be a fundamentalist, I'll take that banner anytime. Okay? So people will call us all different things, but you know what? When God look at you and when God look at your church and when God look at your life, my question is this, what do we see? What does he think about you? So it is much more important what God thinks about you than what people think or the world think or the community think. I would rather one day stand before God and be able to say, thank you, God. And God says, listen, welcome to heaven, faithful servant, than trying to accompany everyone in this world. And at the end, God isn't happy with what he sees. And then he goes on in verse 15 and 16, and he pretty much in modern language says this, I want you guys to go hard or go home. He says in verse 15, he says, I know your works. And then he goes on, he says, you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot, one or the other. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now this word spit in the original language actually literally means to vomit. Guys, this is serious. To vomit. God is speaking to his church. He says, listen, when I think about you guys, I want to vomit. Wow. I want to vomit you out of my mouth because you are actually a disgrace. And then he goes on in verse 17, which is really important. He says this, for you say, I am rich. He says, I have prospered and I need nothing. I want to ask you this question. What makes a successful church or a ministry, in your opinion? If we look at a church or a ministry today, what would you say? You can say, listen, this church, man, they are a huge success. How would we know if a church is a success or not? I know immediately in worldly standards what it possibly will be. Help me quickly. If we look at a church, let's be honest. This is a church, you're not allowed to lie, okay? So let's be honest. If we look at a church, let's be really honest now. If we look at a church, what is our criteria to say this is a successful church and this is not a successful church? Sorry?
Soul winning.
Now that's the spiritual answer, so thank you for that. That's what it's supposed to be, but you're 100% right. Thank you. But what is normally the case?
Numbers.
Who was that? Thank you. Give him a hand. That was awesome. Thank you. Numbers. Numbers. How many people do you have? I cannot tell you, the moment I meet a new pastor that's never seen me before and I tell him about my church, the first thing he asks me is, how many people attend your church on a Sunday morning? Always. That's the first question. Now, at the moment, I've got a problem. At the moment, we are not very successful then. Because we only got 15 people and on a bad day, 10. So then we are not successful at all. But what I can tell you, out of that 10 or 15 people, one thing I can tell you, the statistic shows or says that only 2% of people today in the Christian church are actively doing evangelism. Only 2%. And I'm not saying my church is better than anyone else's church, not at all. But what I am saying is that I know out of those 10 to 15 people, 95% of them already did an evangelism course and are actively doing evangelism every week. So statistically, 95% of our church are doing evangelism. Yes, we only got 10 or 15, but I mean, really, who counts? But statistically, so when God looks at your church, I promise you, He's not looking at numbers. He's not looking at how much money you've got in the bank. He's not looking at, nothing against the new carpet, I think it's lovely, but He's not looking at your carpet. He's looking just above the carpet to your heart. Okay, He stops here. He's not going to go any further. And I think He would probably say, oh man, I love the color. But that's it. He won't say anything more about that. And it will probably say something like, man, guys, those chairs just doesn't match anymore. But okay, let's leave that. Pastor Ken didn't pay me to say that, okay? Okay? But He will really look at your heart and He will look at how effectively are we actually going out and making a difference in our community. Isn't that right? And for me, that would be a successful church. We look at the church, and God looks at our churches. He asks the questions, and I ask the question, so what does He see? And what are we busy with? The problem with this church in Laodicea was that they thought that they were rich. They thought that everything was honky-kadori. Do you know that word? No? Everything was good. Okay. They thought that for you say, this is what they say, this is what the church said, I am rich, and I have prospered, and I need nothing. Do you hear what they're saying? They think they need nothing. We're happy. We're happy as. Kiwi language. Okay. Okay. So we're happy. We don't need anything. But not realizing that you are wretched and pitiful and poor and blind and naked. This is how God saw them. And that's why I'm saying we should probably stop bluffing ourselves and be honest with ourselves. And when you go and spend time with God in the morning or in the evening or whenever you do your devotion, just Be honest with God, because He knows already what's going on in your life and in your heart. We cannot bluff God. And then he says in 1 Peter 1:7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith would be more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. So he's talking about a genuineness of your faith, because your faith will be tested. And if you really want to know how strong your faith are, just look at your own life and how many people you have evangelized yourself. That's a very good place to start. How many people did you actually share your personal faith with just this week? Also look at how much time you spend in the Word of God. That's a very good place to start. Stop looking at others and thinking about others just for yourself. Say, God, how much time do I spend? And that will show me how genuine my faith is. And then he goes on in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 to 13. I'm going to read it very quickly. It says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid already, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, so he assumes that Jesus is already the foundation of that church. And I'm going to assume that Jesus is already the foundation of this church. And now we need to start talking about, so how are we building on that foundation? He says, listen, so if anyone starts building on that foundation with gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Our work will be tested. And I can tell you one thing, the one thing that will always stand, and I believe that's maybe the gold one, is winning souls for Christ. You can never win too many. If you're busy with that, you can be for sure that when your work is tested one day, that God will honor you. And then he gives us this solution, and I'm going to finish with this. He says, therefore, verse 18, listen to my counsel. Stop listening to the people and what the people want. Listen to what I think about you. Listen to what I have to say. He says, listen to my counsel, verse 18. He says, I counsel, which means to propose or to make a proposal or declare a plan for something. That's what it means. I love that. So in other words, guys, we need to get back to the heart of God so that we can get to know His plan. And we need to run with His plan. God is already on the work. He's already working. He's doing His thing. And we can choose. We can either be on our own bandwagon and do our own thing and try our own thing, or we can hop on God's bandwagon and be busy with what He is already doing, with His plan. He says, you buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. He says, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Interesting, he uses what they actually manufactured. Remember, they had a medical school. See how practical God gets. He uses the medical school and he says, listen, you guys think you've got all the solutions for all the ailments out there, but spiritually, you need to open up your eyes and come and get true healing from me. And therefore, Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21 says this, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. In heaven. And I'm going to close with verse 19. So he says, so what should you and I do? And he gives us the answer in verse 19. Those whom I love, I reprove and I discipline. So be zealous and repent. Now that's a word that's not a very popular word these days. In churches, we don't always like to use that word, because repentance actually means that I need to admit that I'm wrong. And who wants to do that? Because I'm never wrong. No, no, not me. But it actually means that we need to admit that we're wrong. We need to admit that somewhere along the line, we've missed the point. And this is literally what it means. It means to reconsider, to have a change of self in my heart and in my mind that abandons the former dispositions and results in a new self, a new behavior, and the regret over the former behavior and dispositions. There's normally two words in the New Testament used for repentance, the Greek words. It's metanoia and epistrophe. So it means this. It says the one pretty much means to turn your back on sin, and the other one means to work towards something new. Okay, so it pretty much means this, that we need to forsake the past and take on a new direction. And we can only do that if we know the plan. And we can only get to know the plan if we are close to the heart of God. The more time we spend with God, the more clearer the plan will become. And we will, yeah, there will be many methods and many things we will try. Some will work, some won't. But the ultimate plan stays the same. And then he closes in Revelation 3, verse 20. Now, this is a very interesting thing, verse, because we normally use this verse for people to come to repentance. But he's actually speaking to the church here. He's not speaking to unbelievers. Now, listen to this verse in Revelation 3, verse 20. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." He's talking to the church. So what is he effectively saying? He's saying, listen, guys, hello, I'm outside. I'm not part of what you're doing. What are you guys doing in there? I'm standing out here in the cold, knocking on your door, and hopefully someone in there will hear and open up the door so that I can come in and that you can become really rich so that you can go out and make a difference. He's talking to the church, not to people who don't know Christ. He's talking to the church. So I want to ask you this. Is God still the center of this church? His heart, His plan? If not, be honest and repent. And again, I'm not saying this to judge you at all. I will be the first one that will put up my hand every week and say, God, please show us. If we go off the rails, show us that, please. We want to be honest about that. And we want to get back on track. We want to get back in line with what you have in store for us. And I love so what Pastor Ken said in the beginning. Mission work starts at home. In my own house, first of all. Are your kids saved? Have you ever shared the gospel with your own children? Is your wife, your husband saved? You know what, we sometimes give money for missionaries in Asia, but I live with someone who don't know the Lord. And I know we cannot change people, I know that. But my question is, what have you actually done to try to share your faith with that person who's living under your roof? How many people, how many Christians do you actually know who you're working with? School, at school. I cannot tell you how many young people I have coming to me and say, oh, but there's no Christians at my school. It's so hard. And then I would ask them, so what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Are you just going to wait that God will send you more Christians? Or are you actually going to get up and start doing what God called you to do? To be the light. Be different. Share your faith. And I get so excited about this, but I'm going to stop now because my time is gone. Thank you so much for your time and for listening, but I really want to encourage you, please just open up your eyes for the opportunities right around you. It's not difficult. You know what? The most dangerous prayer you can pray every morning is, please, God, show me the opportunities today to share my faith with someone. Man, I've tried that one. Whoa. At the end of that week, I was like, God, please stop. Please stop. I felt so overwhelmed. It's not difficult to see the opportunities, guys. It's all around us. The difficult part is being obedient. Is being obedient. And God looks at your life and He says, I know your works. And He's asking you the question, are you hot or are you cold? If you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out. I don't want to be that guy. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, please help us to see your will. Please help us to be in line with your plan. Please help us to be bold like lions, to go out to make a difference for you. Please help us to see the opportunities, but also to do something about that. Please help us to have the discipline, if we feel that we are not ready yet to do that, that we will actually do something about that, to be equipped so that we can go out and make a difference for you. But thank you that you've chosen us, and thank you that you've called us. What a great privilege. And we want to honor you through our lives. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Derek, for bringing the word to us this morning. I think that was a big challenge to many of us, that we too would be busy sharing the gospel with those who are around us. Now, you're going to hear a little bit more from Pastor Derek during the 10 o'clock hour. He's going to share a little bit more specifically with his church down in Napier and his family and all the things that are happening there. So I'm really wanting to encourage you to stay around during the 10 o'clock Sunday school hour. The teens are going to be in here as well, so we're going to have a big Sunday school session. Pastor Derek is going to be sharing once again with us some of his ministry and what's happening in Napier. For just the next few moments, if you have your bulletin, let's check on the inside page. On the inside page, just a few announcements to share with you. We have the Overcomers Support Group starting back tonight. That's at 5 o'clock. If you're a part of the Overcomers, be here at 5 o'clock. If you're not a part of the Overcomers Support Group, but you would like to be, come and see me afterwards. Or if you have a testimony, I know many of you have a testimony where the Lord has done something in your life that you would just love to share with people. This is a good time to come and share your testimony of how the Lord has ministered to your heart. It'll be such an encouragement to people who are looking for that kind of an encouragement along the way. So please come and see me about that. We also have a seniors Bible study that's going to be starting up on the 21st of August. That's at 10 o'clock during the 10 o'clock Sunday school hour. Pastor John will be teaching that seniors Bible study. It'll be in Pastor Ken's office. So Pastor John teaching, and it's a senior study. I guess that includes a lot of us now. A lot of us will be in that Bible study. How are you going to get everyone in that office there, Pastor John? Yeah, we'll fit them in. That's okay. We can fit everyone in there. And then for our missions, continue to pray for our own missionaries, Priscilla and Wesley. Living in Jordan, you know, Priscilla and Wesley, they were part of the church here for quite some time. And now in Jordan ministering, continue to pray for them that the Lord would supply for their needs as well as help them with the language that they're learning. Continue to pray also for our own missions month, the next several weeks, and the guest speakers that we have. You can see right in the bulletin the guest speakers that we're going to be having for these next few weeks. Well, I think that's all of the announcements, other than let me just mention this. Some of you guys, the deacons, and some of you that may be around at the end of the second service, not after this service, but at the end of the second service, we're going to be moving some things from Jillian's office into this corner office. So any of the deacons or any of the men who's around at the end of second service, if you could maybe arrange for a few guys to help us to get all of the office equipment out. We're going to be starting the second phase of the carpeting in this foyer area starting Monday afternoon. So we would like to have all of those things moved out. So that's all the announcements. Before we're dismissed, though, let's take a moment and recognize if you're having a birthday or an anniversary celebration. Is there anyone this week celebrating a birthday from today, Saturday through Sunday? Or anyone from last week that we missed? Anyone with a birthday? Come on up here. Birthday celebrations. Anyone else with a birthday? Anyone else celebrating a birthday? How about, come on up here. Anyone celebrating wedding anniversaries? Any with wedding anniversaries? Come on up here, Lily and Michael. Come on up. Anniversaries and birthdays. How many years? 3 years. And then later on in this year, when are you expecting? It's in October? October, she's expecting as well. Congratulations to you both. Let's all stand together, and we'll sing Happy Birthday, and then we'll sing Happy Anniversary. Let's sing together.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you.